90.5 FM KSJS presents
Mecca 1111111111.
Muslims engaged in creating consciousness
in America.
Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Mecca 1 is on right now. It's the best in town.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. In the name of God, the most merciful, the most gracious. Welcome to Mecca 1 right here on the station, 90.5 FM. KSJS, if you don't know, now you do. Alhamdulillah, we have a very, inshallah, useful show for us. Ramadan is coming up, and we have a guest speaker with us today, inshallah, going to talk about the topic, Ramadan preparation. So let me start it off. We have our guest speaker here, Imam Zaid Shakir from the Zaytuna Institute. And alhamdulillah, we're very blessed to have him here today. And we also encourage your guys' questions and calls and comments. I'd like to introduce my guest, Imam Zaid Shakir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I could use a nap, but other than that, I'm good to go.
Did you have a long day? Or?
I think it's a long life at this point. Alhamdulillah.
I remember one brother told me, right now this dunya, this life we have is, time to work, and then time to rest is when, we rest
right.
In the grave. So.
That's why I said I could use a nap. I didn't say I look forward to having one anytime soon.
Alhamdulillah. So, as you know, the topic of discussion today is Ramadan, pre-Ramadan preparation, and inshallah we have you on today to help us in preparing for this very blessed month that is coming around the corner. I guess first like to start off with a question with the month of Ramadan itself. What is the significance of the month of Ramadan, historically speaking?
Well, I think even before we get to that, I think when we talk about preparation, people should avail themselves of these last days of Sha'ban, the month which precedes Ramadan, by, if they have the desire or the willpower, engaging in voluntary fasting so that the month doesn't come upon them. It's like a relay race. You get faster times because you get a running start. So don't wait for Ramadan and then suffer through the first few days of fasting. Oh, it's so hard, it's so difficult, and not get the full spiritual benefits, get a running start. And actually, we're encouraged to start warming up in Rajab, the month which precedes Sha'ban. One of our scholars, in fact, many of them have said similar things, the gist of which is, Rajab is the month for planting the seeds, and Sha'ban is the month for cultivating and irrigating the crop, and Ramadan is the month of harvesting. So if one hasn't taken advantage of Rajab by beginning to engage in voluntary fast, by beginning to read the Quran and start engaging in extra worship, night prayer, etc., and one hasn't taken advantage of the first part of Sha'ban, one should try to take advantage of these waning days of Sha'ban to try to begin to prepare oneself spiritually, psychologically, and even physically to greet the month of Ramadan in a good way, that one is already acclimated to fasting. So the benefits of Ramadan will be more enhanced and will be greater for the individual. Now, to go back to your second question about the month of Ramadan, Ramadan is a month, I think, more than anything else, of revelation. There are traditions, and Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali mentions these in his book Lata'if al-Ma'arif, Fima li mawasim al-am min al-wada'if. So, the subtleties of knowledge concerning what each season of the year, in fact, he breaks it down to each month of the lunar year, contains of religious duties and admonitions. So in any case, some of the traditionalists mention a tradition that states that, in fact, all of the scriptures were revealed in the month of Ramadan. that during the first part of the month, the Torah, or the first part of the Old Testament, the Jewish scripture was revealed. Towards the latter half, latter part of the first half of the month, the Injil, or the Gospel, the scripture revealed to Jesus was revealed. And during the latter part of the month, the Quran was revealed. So the month itself is associated with revelation. And for us as Muslims, the revelation that we follow and that we believe to be the final revelation from God to humanity, the Quran, was revealed during this month. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Almighty God mentions in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. Now there's an association between fasting and the revelation of the Quran, and a lot of people aren't aware of that. So the revelation goes on, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. Therefore, whoever amongst you lives to attain to this month in good health, then let him or let her fast during the month. Now, one of the wisdoms of fasting is that it enhances our spiritual powers, and that enhanced spiritual power makes us more mindful of God. So the month of fasting itself is the month of Ramadan, the month of revelation. So Almighty God says concerning that month, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O you multitude of believers, fasting has been ordained for you, and this ordainment is to fast the month of Ramadan. That's the obligatory fast that has been prescribed or ordained for the Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, all you believers, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, fasting has been ordained or prescribed for you, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, as it was ordained for those who preceded you. And then he mentions the benefit, the primary benefit of that, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that perhaps you will become more mindful of God. Now, as we said, this month of fasting is the month of revelation. So, how does fasting relate to the revelation? The revelation can only be benefited by from one who has piety and who has God consciousness. So Allah Ta'ala, Almighty God, says at the very beginning of the Qur'an, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the scripture. Concerning it, there is no doubt. It is guidance for those who have God consciousness. So the month of Ramadan is the month of Qur'an. It's also the month of fasting. One cannot benefit from the Qur'an unless one has piety, and fasting is the thing that enhances piety. Fasting has been prescribed for you that perhaps you will become more God conscious, more pious. And the Quran, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, this is the scripture, there is no doubt concerning it. It is guidance only for those who are pious and God conscious. هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So the fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, the revelation itself, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So it's appropriate that Ramadan brings together these two themes, the revelation of the Quran and fasting to enhance God consciousness and piety in order that the human being can benefit from the Quran. Fasting the month of Rajab is not only encouraged as a preparation for Ramadan, but it's also one of the four sacred months. And we've been encouraged to fast during those sacred months. So there's a double incentive for fasting. Ramadan, it's related that the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him, didn't fast in any month as much as he fasted in the month of Sha'ban. So one of the greatest preparations is to begin fasting in the month that precedes Ramadan. And this is why we advise the listeners out there, if you haven't taken advantage of Sha'ban to fast up to this point, that in the days that remain, perhaps you can fast a few of those days, just being mindful to stop the fast a day or two before the day that Ramadan is anticipated. So one of the best ways is to begin fasting, to begin doing the things or practicing the things that are highly encouraged in Ramadan and the things which can nullify the reward of the fast. So start controlling the tongue. Try not to backbite. Try not to slander. Try not to do any of those things, engage in any of those ruinations of the tongue, which in fact can undermine or negate the reward of the fasting. To lower the gaze and to begin to really focus on refining and gathering one's spiritual energies and directing and orienting oneself towards God with the full strength and might of one's being.
Allah, you're listening to Mecca One, where we're here with Imam Zayshak. You're talking about Ramadan preparation. What are some practical steps we can take? I know you mentioned, being more aware of our senses and try to control those. And I believe that, once you do fast, since you have that feeling over you, that constant feeling that you're fasting, that you are more aware of, these senses that we have in terms of controlling them. What would you suggest for somebody normal, like a student or somebody going to work, the regular 9-to-5, what practical things they could do? Because, we live in a day and age where everything's, you have to meet deadlines, we're busy, busy, busy. What are some things that people could do? We're busy bees. So what are some practical things that, because many times what we see is that, when these 30 days comes, it just comes and goes. And you don't even know it came, and you don't even know it went.
Right. I think definitely that's the case. I think we can begin to look for those little ways that we can find time during our busy schedules. I think if we added up the time that we needlessly watch the television, if we added in the time that we're listening to something totally frivolous on the radio, in other words, everything except Mecca One, if we looked at the time that we spend eating, skip a meal, skip the morning break instead of using that opportunity to indulge in your morning cappuccino and Krispy Kreme donut. Use that time, use that 15, 20 minutes to read the Quran. Bring your Quran with you. Put the Krispy Kreme donut to the side. Your body will appreciate that. Spare yourself the cappuccino. Your nerves will appreciate that. And use that time for the Quran. The same thing, the lunch break. Cut down on the lunch or eliminate it altogether as one prepares for Ramadan. And again, give that time to the Quran. Give that time to God. Read about the rules related to the fasting in a book of concerning the fasting. The fast, they're very common and popular. To begin to educate oneself, to begin to maximize one's time. So look for ways to find time in the busy schedule. And then in the evening, again, instead of becoming a couch potato all evening, sitting down and vegetating in front of the television. Of course, we're Muslims, we only watch the news and ESPN. So instead of watching ESPN five times, seeing Barry Bonds hit the home run five times, be content with one time, and the time for the other four half an hour reruns of ESPN, turn to the Quran, pick up the Quran, do the night prayer. So Taraweeh, when it comes, becomes easy. So pray 9, 10, 11 rakats of night prayer, tahajjud, qiyam al-layl, to prepare oneself for the rigors that one will be indulging in Ramadan. And really they're not rigors, because the fasting, one of the secrets is that it releases spiritual energy. So one finds that it's a lot easier, for example, in Ramadan when one is fasting, to read the Quran, to do the prayers, and other things. And one reason it's easier is because spiritual energy that is not now satiating the carnal appetites and feeding the carnal body is released to feed the spiritual body. So we need soul food, not collard greens and cornbread. That's good too. Just leave out the pig feet. But just as
how
we need soul food for the body, we need food for our soul, for our spirit. And when we feed the spirit, we release spiritual energy. And the more we feed it, and one of the foods is fasting. One of the foods for it is staying up to pray at night. One of the foods is silence. So a samt, a lujur, a sahar, an uzla. One of the foods is isolation. So it's interesting that Ramadan gathers all four of those things. So the soul food diet, our scholars mention, al-jua, hunger, samt, silence, al-sahar, night vigil, al-uzla, isolation. In Ramadan, we're encouraged to control our tongues, so we have the samt. And because we're not feeding ourselves, it becomes more difficult to talk, literally. The energy, we become very conscious of how we use our energy in Ramadan. So we have the hunger because we're fasting. So we have the jua. We're fasting, so we experience the deprivation of physical food. We have the silence, the samt. We have the sahar because we're staying up later at night to do the sunnah. So we're staying up later, we get the sahar, and we get the uzla if we make the i'tikaf, which is a sunnah for the last 10 days of Ramadan. So even if we can't do the last 10 days, if we take some time to isolate ourselves from that be world that's so preoccupying ourselves, so we get the forces of Ramadan, and if we die, and as a society, we're not feeding our spirit as much as we're feeding our carnal body, we're on the path to ruination. Ibrahim al-Adham, one of our great pious early scholars, he said, هلك الذين هلكوا قبلكم بثلاث خصال, that the people who preceded you were ruined because of three things, three characteristics: فضول الكلام وفضول الطعام وفضول المنام, too much talking, too much eating, and too much sleeping. So Ramadan cuts down on all three. So it's a tremendous opportunity for a human being to get back in touch with his or her true nature. All of us should be eagerly Muslim, and even if you're non-Muslim, you're listening, try the fast of Ramadan. Try it. You'll like it. And you get to eat in the evening. It's only from these days, the fasting is about from 5:30 in the morning until 6:30 as the month wears on at night. So after that, you can eat, drink, but don't be too merry, and watch what you drink. For tomorrow you will die. That's our motto. So that's the Muslim creed. Eat, drink, and be merry, to moderation, because tomorrow you will die. So use the energy gains from the food, the drink, and use the relaxing times to prepare for the time ahead, to prepare for death. It's a reality. It's awaiting all of us. It's nothing to fear, but it's something to prepare for.
Alhamdulillah, you listen to Mecca One, we're here with Imam Zaid. If I could just add something on a different note. For example, athletes, whenever they have to train for something, a big event or whatever, they train for, you know, very vigorously. Their body really goes through some excruciating pain, too, to, you know, kind of train for that big day. And that's kind of how I feel Ramadan is, that month where we're, you know, training our soul for that big day, and which is, you know, the day of judgment, or, you know, the day when we meet our Lord, that, you know, maybe our soul could be cleansed. And truly, I think Ramadan is like a purification process. You get 30 days, just like you medicine, say, you know, you take this antibiotics for 30 days, and by the end of the 30 days, you could be cured from...
Most definitely, I think, if I could chime in, we're constantly feeding our physical body. And that's not good, because bodies are some regeneration. So in physical brain, to them, a lot of impurities, a lot of toxins, a lot of poisons even, just through our normal food and the waste that builds up by processing that food. So in Ramadan, it's sort of a pit stop. You know, we're 30 days out, we're lightening up on our physical body and appetites, And we're giving our body a chance to clean itself out physically. And again, that releases a lot of spiritual energy. So after Ramadan, we're ready to get back on the track. We leave the pit stop and we're back out, and we've got new tires, we've got new oil, we've got a full tank of gas spiritually, and we're ready to go out there and get the checkered flag, which is success when we meet our Lord. So it's a tremendous opportunity for a person to clean himself or herself out physically, which enhances them physically and, more importantly, spiritually. So it's a great opportunity, I say, to get back in touch with our true selves, because the thing that distinguishes us as human beings is our spiritual nature. They say that some animals are as intelligent and dog, for example, but they lack the appendage, they lack the hands and the wherewithal to create anything with that intellect. However, as human beings, we have more than intellect. We also have a deep spiritual side. So no animals have built altars, even in a primitive way. Monkeys who do have, and primates who do have the appendages, the hands, they haven't even built primitive altars of any type to try to attain or to worship and seek to know Almighty God, the creator of all of this. So as human beings, we have that ability, and that spiritual nature and essence is what distinguishes us. So when we enhance that nature, and when we stop and we get away from our physical nature and slow down and stop eating, we get back in touch with our true selves. So Ramadan is a tremendous opportunity for us to get back in touch with our true selves, who we really are as a human being, as Bani Adam.
You're listening to Mecca One. We're actually going to take a be back.
Mecca One Radio.
To help support Mecca One Radio, or to bring Mecca One Radio to your city, please visit us on the web at www.meccaone.org. That's www.meccaone.org.
You're listening to Mecca One right here on the station 90.5 FM. Imam Zaid, we've been talking about Ramadan, and I've been wanting to do like the last 10 days itikaf, and you know, last year I wasn't able to do that. If you could actually just kind of go with a little overview on that, what that entails, and also the benefits in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and also the touching upon the night of power.
First of all, it's sunnah. So being sunnah is something the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never left. Once the fast was instituted, he always made itikaf. And it's related that the year he missed, he made up for it in Shawwal, the month that follows Ramadan. So it's sunnah. So if a person, for example, has vacation time, it's not sunnah. I mean, it's very nice to take 5 or 6 days and go down to Yosemite, or to go up to Canada, or to go over to Hawaii. Those are very nice trips. But it's not sunnah. It's not something that your Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him, encouraged, and something that he diligently adhered to. So if you have some vacation time, it's more fitting to use that vacation time to make i'tikaf. And if you do it, I guarantee you, every time I've made i'tikaf, when I came out of the masjid at the end of that 9 or 10 days period, is like, it's as if the entire world had changed. The sky was a new sky. The sun was a new sun. The air was new and crisp and fresh. It was a total renewal for me. So if you have vacation time, and I'm sure a lot of you out there who are listening to this program, you do, make it easy on yourself. Take vacation and spend that vacation making i'tikaf, or isolating yourself in the masjid, and not to hang out in the masjid for 9 or 10 days and chit-chatting with the brothers and sisters that come in to pray, but to, if you have a little pup tent, find the corner in the masjid, pitch your tent, and stay in that tent except for the times that you have to come out to pray, or to clean yourself up, or to answer the calls of nature. Other than that, stay in your tent with your Quran, with your Subha, and engage in intensive worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, isolated in the masjid. So that's what i'tikaf is. It's isolation in the masjid for worship and devotion. And the best worship during that time is the recitation of the Qur'an, where normally every letter one recites is multiplied 10 times over. Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha, and in Ramadan, they're multiplied 70 additional times. So every letter, minimally, is 700 times multiplied in its reward. So this is a tremendous opportunity for an individual to do good for his or her soul. And again, if you have time, if you have vacation time, avail yourself of this opportunity. Use that vacation time to implement and to revive a sunnah, a prophetic tradition left to us by our Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him.
How about if you could touch upon the Night of Power for us?
The Night of Power is a night, and this is one of the reasons for i'tikaf, so that we can greet that night in worship and devotion. The last 10 days of Ramadan, and most likely the Ad nights of those last 10 days, and most likely the 27th night, is the night called the Night of Power. And that's the night that the Qur'an was sent down, the beginning of the revelation began, from what's referred to as Al-Baytul Izz, or Baytul Izz fi in the lower heaven, from the earlier revelation from God to what's called the preserved tablet, Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, to the Baytul Izz, and then from the Baytul Izz to the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him, beginning on that night in Ramadan, the night of power. So the worship of that night, earlier nations had long lifespans. We know that Noah lived 900 some odd years, and we read even in the biblical accounts of this individual who lived 700 years, this one 500 years, and we live 60, 70 years. So when it was mentioned that they had so much more time to do righteous deeds, 500 years, the Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him, was told that his nation was given a night whose worship is equivalent to the worship of 1,000 months. 1,000 months calculates out to 80 some odd years. So the worship of this one night is equivalent to the worship of 1,000 months. So to take advantage of the opportunity to attain to that month, and that night rather, which is worth the equivalent to the worship of 1,000 months, and not the worship of a person who's praying for 1,000 months, but the worship of an individual who put on his armor in the old days and went forth for 1,000 months defending the faith, the struggle of that individual undertaking worship for 1,000 months, in addition to his defending the faith for 1,000 months, that night is worship is equivalent to the 1,000 months that that individual spent in worship. So it's a tremendous opportunity to do something good for one's soul. And again, take vacation time. Don't leave it to chance. Oh, maybe I won't be tired. Maybe I can take a day off, Friday and Monday off, and get 4 days in. Take the whole 10 days off from your 30 days vacation. You have, still have 20 days left to go down to Yosemite, over to the Grand Canyon, up to, where is Old Faithful? Yellowstone National Park, over to Hawaii. You still have 20 days left. So give 10 to Allah, 10 to God, and you still have 20 vacation days left for yourself. So think about it, brothers and sisters.
I think these coming days are very crucial in terms of mentally preparing for the month of Ramadan, because like I said before, when it comes and it hits us, we're just like overwhelmed. And I think that we, as you know, living in Western societies, we have it more difficult when the month of Ramadan comes, because other places around the world, where food is less available,
right,
where there's poverty. So for us, when Ramadan comes, it's like, you know, sometimes it can be overwhelming.
And I think also it's very important, you touched on something. In societies where they have a lot less, people are a lot more thankful to God for what they have. And I think if we another way we can prepare psychologically for Ramadan and to get in the frame of mind for the sacrifices that it entails is to really step back and look at everything that God has given us in this society. He's blessed us with more food than we can eat. One of the biggest or most fastest growing industries, rather, is the diet industry. You have the Atkins plan and this plan and that plan. It's a multi-billion dollar industry trying to get people to burn off the fat from eating so much. We have more food than we can eat. We have shelter. We have unimaginable luxuries. What have we done to thank God for those blessings? What have we done? And we're going to be asked. We're going to be asked. ثُمَّ لَتُسَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And then you will surely be asked concerning the blessings you enjoyed. So it's time for us to really step back and look at how much we've been given. And then look at what we've done for God. What have we done to show our appreciation for these many, many blessings? And one way to show that appreciation is by standing in prayer. The Prophet, peace and blessings of God be upon him, is related by one of his wives, Aisha radiallahu anha, that may God be pleased with her. He used to stand in prayer at night until his feet swole and cracked. And she asked him, why are you doing this, O Messenger of Allah? When God has forgiven any mistakes you might have committed or that you might commit in the future. And he gave a very penetrating answer. He said, should I not then love to be a thankful servant? أَفَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. In other words, this prayer, this devotion that I'm engaging in, this is an expression of my thanks to God for the many, many blessings he's given me. So it's interesting, he stood in prayer. One of the objectives of Ramadan, in addition to fasting during the day, is to stand in prayer at night. So this is a way we can thank Almighty God. The Prophet, he said, in two very, peace be upon him, closely related hadiths, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with sincere faith, anticipating a reward from God, his prior sins will be forgiven. Another hadith, closely related, almost identical wording, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stands for prayer at night during the month of Ramadan with sincere faith, anticipating reward, all of his prior sins will be forgiven. So the standing in prayer at night is almost an integral part of the fast as fasting during the day. In the short, cool winter days, the fasting isn't a challenge, but then the nights are very long, so standing for worship at night is the challenge. And in the long, hot summer days, the fasting is the greater challenge, and standing at prayer during the very short nights is less of a challenge. So there's a balance. And you mentioned the societies where people don't have as much, desert societies, mountain, remote societies, where people's lives are more connected to the ebb and flow of the natural forces that really dominate our lives. But here, we're shielded from those forces, and we don't notice them. So Ramadan, as we go through the long summer days and then the short winter days, the short summer nights and the long winter nights, it's also a way of making us, putting us back in touch with the ebb and flow of night, because we begin to appreciate the day and to measure the day and to appreciate the night and to measure the night, so that we begin our fasting within the proper time. We break fast at the proper time. So in all ways, Ramadan is a blessing, and we should show our thanks for that blessing by engaging in it with vigor, enthusiasm, reciting our Quran, the month of the Quran. We shouldn't let pass us by without completing at least one complete recital of the scripture. Those who can't read Arabic, read it through and through in English. When I first became Muslim, every Ramadan I would read the Yusuf Ali translation of the Quran in English, and it has the 30th marked off in the English translation. So if you can't read Arabic, read it in English. If you can read Arabic, make sure you read it at least once during the month of Ramadan. Try to memorize part of it. Set time aside to enhance your memorization. Review the lessons of the Quran. Try to, in the month of Ramadan, come out with a renewed conviction to implement the teachings of the Quran in one's life. So make the month of Quran beneficial and make it an expression of thanks and devotion to Almighty God. And when that happens, one begins to see manifestations of God's attributes in everything, the very air. One can see the wisdom behind the creation of something that we take so much for granted, such as the air, and almost being able to see every molecule that's in there, the hydrogen, the oxygen, the nitrogen, and to really appreciate that, to see the brightness of the sun in a new perspective, the blueness of the sky in stark contrast with the golden hills, or in the rainy season, the green hills around here. And it really impresses on one's mind, La ilaha illallah. There's no God, no one to be worshipped but God, but the creator of all this, the architect of all this, and the one who's given us as human beings the senses to maximize our enjoyment of all this. And the ultimate enjoyment of it all is to see in it all that reality, La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but God. So I see the beauty in his world, and I say, Subhanallah, glorified is God, the best of all those who create. I see the beauty in it, and I say that he's the one who gives the best forms to things. He is al-musawwir. I see the wisdom in it, and the structure of it, and I know he is Al-Bari. I see his incomparability to bring it about from nothing, that he is Al-Bari. He is the one who brings things into existence from nothingness. So that's one of the greatest fruits of spiritual works, and one of the greatest spiritual works in the life of the Muslim is the fast of Ramadan. So we just encourage everyone, really from the bottom of my heart, I encourage you to take advantage of this tremendous opportunity, because those tremendous rewards from the worship in this month, those tremendous rewards from the night of power, you might not get another Ramadan. We might not get another Ramadan. This might be each and every one of us, for each and every one of us, our last Ramadan, the last opportunity to attain to that night whose worship is better than 1,000 months. The last opportunity to spend these blessed days. So this month may never pass upon us again during our stay in this world. This could be our last Ramadan. That being the case, one should really approach it with vigor. If you've been lax in the past, you haven't fasted, you failed to attend the Taraweeh prayers, you didn't pick up the Quran during the month of the Quran, don't make that mistake again, brothers and sisters. Really, dig down deep inside and try to bring forth a little extra energy, a little extra strength to take advantage of this tremendous, tremendous opportunity that Almighty God is presenting to us.
Well, speaking of that, I remember I used to bump into a few friends of mine. I would see them and be like, I didn't see you even during Ramadan. They're like, yeah, you know, I work right now. And I'm like,
yeah, in my air-conditioned office. And, you know, so tough going up those 20 flights in the elevator. So I think I'll have to pass on the fast.
So I think, inshallah, if we can, since...
If that's what you were thinking.
I was thinking...
I might have hijacked your thought.
No, that, and also the fact that, you know, you'll be surprised at how people are open-minded. If you go up to your boss or whatever, if there's a conflict in your schedule, you have to do this or this,
say, you know what, can I take this day off, or can I leave early for this month, or can I... You'll be surprised at how much, you know, people are open to that.
That's a great suggestion.
Yeah.
Go to the boss, you know, I'm not eating this month, so I don't need my lunch hour. So can I work through the lunch hour and leave an hour early?
Yeah,
to get ready for iftar, ready for tarawih.
Exactly. SubhanAllah. And
don't let the boss come to you. Oh, Abdul, I thought you were fasting this month. What are you doing eating that? Whatever.
So, alhamdulillah, we got non-Muslims reminding Muslims, you know, their obligations, alhamdulillah. But you're talking about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just thinking about Him and how, you know, merciful He is to us, which kind of sparked, if I may jump in, is just the fact, think about our taste buds. We could have just had, like, two tastes. He could have just given us, like, sweet and sour, and that's it. But look how many, you know, different tastes we experience in the mouth, you know, the tongue itself. How many taste buds are there, you know? Like, for example, dogs don't have no taste buds because they be eating anything, right? And God could have made us like that, too. He could have given us just, like, one, not even any taste buds at all, you know? But He gave us taste buds to experience food. And when you look at food, the different colors from the different tastes, and everybody has their own kind of, you know, I like chocolate, or no, I don't like sweet stuff, I like spicy food, you know. Everybody's got their own taste, so just thinking about that, and you're like, SubhanAllah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful, God is so merciful to us, that He's given us, not only has given us the food to enjoy, you know, the different tastes, but also the taste buds to experience those different tastes. So they both go hand in hand.
And for that, I mean, at the end of the fast, one of the two delights, one is the delight of the faster at the time that he or she breaks their fast. And really, you will rarely taste food that tastes as good as it does after a day of fasting. So it's really an opportunity to really appreciate those taste buds and to appreciate the wonderful foods that God has blessed us with and graced us with. I wanted to say, I think we're over time a little. There's a point I wanted to make, possibly it could serve as a reminder for the brothers and sisters. We talked about what we can do during the fast and how we can strive to please God and strive to show our appreciation for the many blessings we've been given. What about the reward we get from God as a result of this month-long sacrifice that we make? It's interesting that of all our acts of worship, the fasting, God says, in a tradition that's attributed directly to God, was referred to as Hadith Qudsi, that all of the actions the servant undertakes are for himself. Except fasting. He says, وَأَمَّا الصَّيَامُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِي. As for the fasting, that's for me, and I will recompense him for it. Now, our scholars mention that there are two meanings of this. More than two, but two primary meanings. One, fasting is an act of worship that's associated with patience. Because unlike the prayer, which is over in, usually in 5 minutes, depending on the prayer, or even unlike the Hajj, which is over in a few days, unlike Zakat, which is given in a moment, is given and that's the end of it with a sincere niyyah, fasting endures for a month. Fasting endures for a month. So fasting has been referred to as patience. In the verse, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, seek the help of God with sabr and salah. Salah obviously is prayer. Sabr, many of our scholars say, is fasting, through fasting and prayer. So it's the month of fasting, and of patience rather. And one of the rewards for the patient people, God says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, that the fasting people will be given their reward with no reckoning. So the scholars say one meaning of the tradition, fasting is for me, God says, fasting is for me, and I will recompense the servant, is that its reward is beyond any human reckoning.
that there's no parable even that can be struck for the reward of fasting, because fasting is patience, and patience in the yuwaffa sabiruna ajrahum bighayri hisab, is the reward for the patient has no reckoning, bighayri hisab. That's one meaning. Another meaning, which is mentioned by the great scholar Sufyan bin Uyayna, one of the early mujtahid scholars and one of the teachers of Imam Shafi'i during his time in Mecca, may God's mercy be on both of them, he said that on the day of judgment, we know one of the things that will happen is all of the people we've oppressed in any way, with our tongues, with our hands, with our actions, anyone we've oppressed, they will come and take from our good deeds. Right? This is a well-known tradition.
Right.
They will take from our good deeds. So, he said, one of the meanings that fasting is for God, he says, وَأَمَّا الصِّيَامْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِدِي, it's for me and I will recompense him for it, is that after all of our, the rewards from all of our deeds, from our dhikr, from our Quran, from our prayer, from our charity, from our, all of our acts, our litanies, everything has been exhausted. All of those multitude of people whom we've oppressed have been recompensed. Only the reward of our fasting will remain. And they won't be able to touch that because that's not for us. That's for God. So God holds back that reward. And the people we've oppressed won't be able to take the reward from our fasting. And after everything else is gone, God will give us the reward for our fasting. And that will be what enters us into paradise. So don't neglect, don't belittle the significance of this wonderful opportunity God has given us during this blessed month.
Well, Jazakallah khair, Imam Zaid. We're talking about preparing for the month of Ramadan. Before we leave the show today, I was just wondering if Imam Zaid, you have any closing comments for our listeners out there?
I just pray that all of the Muslims who are listening can really look inside of themselves and find it within themselves to really make a concerted effort during this month to do everything to take advantage of this tremendous, tremendous opportunity we have in the month of Ramadan and in our search for the night of power, to not fall short in that. And any non-Muslims who are out there, again, we just pray that God blesses you and opens up your hearts to His guidance and that you try the fast. There's nothing to stop you. If you know any Muslims, ask them if you can fast with them. Many of the Muslim students groups sponsor fastathons where they encourage their non-Muslim schoolmates and classmates to fast along with them for 1 or 2 days, and then they have a collective feast breaking. So any of you, any of the non-Muslim listeners, try fasting, and as they say, try it, you'll like it, and there's no obligation. So, if you don't like it, you can go out and eat something.
but let me warn you, it is addictive to the soul.
Yeah. So, in any case, but we love you and whoever you are out there, and we pray that good is your lot in this life and that you're able to spread as much love and as much good to others as is humanly possible. And hopefully, our paths will cross. So if you hear my voice, maybe one day I can meet you in person and we can sit down and sip some tea together, God willing.
Well, Jazakallah khair for listening. Thanks to all our listeners. And Jazakallah khair for our beloved scholar Imam Zaid for spending some of his day today. And we hope to have you again on the show soon. So, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
To help support Macawan Radio, or to bring Macawan Radio to your city, please visit us on the web at www.macawan.org. That's www.